Hi, and welcome again to the Yes and I Am podcast, the podcast where we learn about people. I'm Aaron Max, and today's guest is someone I'm a big, big fan of. Seems to be always cranking out a new film after new film. You may have seen him this summer in his new movie, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales. I'm talking about Mr. Johnny Depp.
Oh, yes. Hello, Aaron. Thank you for having me. I'm Johnny Depp.
Do you always introduce yourself with your own name?
Yes, just to let the radio people know who I am. I am Johnny Depp. Actor, musician, all around, very, very, very lovely and interesting person.
Now, Mr. Depp, you're kind of hard to hear. Do you always use a whispery voice?
Well, I feel that when you talk softly, it makes people listen to you.
Makes people listen to you. Is that how you get your dramatic tone in your films, you think?
Yes, I work with actors like Natalie Portman on set, and you know, and when we're running lines, I don't speak very loud, so they have to lean in, and it makes them a little upset, a little frustrated with me, so I get really, really good, strong energy out of that.
It kind of builds dramatic tension.
Oh, yes, I think so.
Now, let's go back, way back, actually. You were quoted to have said, like, when growing up, you lived in 20 different places. Your family was always moving. Your parents actually got divorced at 15. Sounds like a pretty rocky childhood.
Yes, yes. I was a nomad from a very young age. There wasn't a whole lot of stability in my life. I was lucky to have parents who've been supportive of my career, but no, it wasn't an easy upbringing for Johnny Depp.
Now, you actually dropped out of high school to pursue a music career. What made you want to drop out of high school? What made you want to leave your family at such a young age?
Well, music, I feel, is much more of a conventional form of education than the so-called education system that we practice here in our country of America. And this is a decision I made after being jostled around from place to place at an early age. I decided that that music is fluid, a lot like my lifestyle.
Fluid like your lifestyle?
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that when you play music, a tone or a note, you can take that tone or note and you can take it anywhere. You can hold its little hand and you can play a little low like this, or you could get it up high like this. And as a child, I lacked a whole lot of stability, and I felt like I just wanted someone to take me by the hand and find some kind of harmony.
Someone to take you by the hand and find some harmony. Now, by that, feel like music stepped in where your parents didn't?
Yes, I had my guitar and my guitar had me. And whereas I would play my guitar, I also felt like my guitar would play me.
Your guitar would play you. Now, it must have been kind of disappointing, though, when you got out to Hollywood and you weren't offered a record deal. I mean, music really didn't go anywhere for you.
No. Nobody wanted to hear my music in Hollywood. They would listen to Charlie Manson, but they wouldn't listen to me, Johnny Depp.
Now, you mentioned Manson. Are you influenced by Charlie Manson at all? Or is there a distaste for... Obviously, everyone has a distaste for Charlie Manson, but your voice changed a little there.
Well, I will admit that perhaps in terms of style and hygiene, I mirror that of the infamous Charlie Manson, but I treat my followers a lot better than Charlie would have. I would never deal with magic, dabble with the left-hand path. That's not really my style.
Wow. Let's move forward a little bit. Hmm. Fun fact, your first film, Nightmare on Elm Street, which actually only makes you 2 degrees of separation from me, actually. I actually was recently in a film with one of your co-stars, Amanda Wiss. So, yeah. So, small world, right?
Yes, yes. Did you see, you know, that she had a missing eye?
I did not notice that she had a missing eye. Amanda, if you're listening, I gotta see that sometime.
Yes, yes. I don't wanna out her in any way, but Amanda lost an eye on the set of A Nightmare on Elm Street. So I heard. I wasn't there, but she's since had it replaced with a glass eye.
Well, it must be super convincing. I definitely couldn't tell, and I spent a good amount of time with her.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Well, yes, my first film was A Nightmare on Elm Street, and...
Yeah, no, and your career just kind of picked up from then. You did, you were in the movie Platoon.
Yes, yes.
And then, obviously, you starred in the TV show 21 Jump Street.
Right, oh. Yeah.
What was it like for, like, your career to just go from, like, a nowhere music career to, like, getting everything?
Well, it all goes back to music in the end, I believe. The same way I would pick up my guitar and I would play a song and it would just whisk me away on an adventure and in my own mind. When I started to break into the acting world and when Hollywood began to recognize me as a performer, whereas it wouldn't recognize me as a musician, it took me by the hand, and I finally had that stability and that confidence and security that I'd lacked throughout my childhood.
So, now you harp on Hollywood not recognizing you as a musician. Is there any way that the two worlds could merge? That maybe your musical life could blend in with your film life? I know you've tried to be in musicals, but none of them, like, you didn't play guitar in any of them, for what I know.
No, for Sweeney Todd, I asked Burton if I could, bring in my flying V and, you know, do some chords here or there, you know, maybe add to the soundtrack. I was always quite taken with Elfman's work, actually.
Big Danny Elfman fan?
Oh, yes, yes, quite. It was my idea to have him score a lot of Tim's films.
Yeah, actually, we recently had, on our show, we had Hans Zimmer here, and he said that the pairing of directors and composers is very much done by the Illuminati.
Oh, well, I mean, he's absolutely right. I don't pretend I know a lot about the Hollywood film music industry and, you know, what goes into it, but I know that they have to get all that temp music from somewhere. And it's...
Yeah, I obviously you're not a member of the Illuminati yet, but he basically told us that it's very much a labor union, that there isn't as much, like... craziness that rumors say is part of the Illuminati.
Well, I mean, as I said before, I would never dabble in the dark magic that is the Illuminati. I know it is real, and I know it exists, and I have a lot of friends who are a part of that.
So culture. You're saying there is something darker about the Illuminati?
Yes, but I stray away from the left-hand path. I do not do any sort of dark magic.
Now, is there many dark arts that you don't dabble in that, like, you try to stay away from?
Oh, yes, yes. I would say that Scientology is...
Scientology?
It's a big one for us actors.
I'm afraid to even say their name. Like, who knows where they have cameras?
They are everywhere, Aaron. It is... It's terrifying. I've had many a friend try to audit me, get me to go clear. But alas, I've stayed away from Scientology the same way I've stayed away from chaos magic, the same way I've stayed away from the Necronomicon.
Necronomicon. Now, is there other actors that follow the Necronomicon?
Oh, yes, yes. Countless actors. The Necronomicon is the Book of the Dead. Tim Burton, actually, is a fond cultist.
Yeah, I was about to say, Tim Burton seems like he would dabble in the dark arts.
Yes, yes. He dabbles in the dark arts, you could say. He is one of the largest figures, I believe, to this day, who practices dark magic and prays to Nyarlathotep and
Nyarlathotep?
Cthulhu. Yes, yes. They're all Lovecraftian deities, outer gods that live in the eldest eldritch regions of existence and deep within the earth, and they're tentacle monsters.
That sounds terrifying.
Yes.
Now, what other dark arts do you find yourself struggling to stay away from?
Kale.
Kale?
The kale diet. Yeah, that
Wait,
whole
the kale?
Fad.
Whoa. Kale is dark?
Yes, well, trendy diets were a way of...
Are they like a gateway drug into the dark arts?
Yes, you could say that. They're the easiest way of physically manipulating a person. You take something like their self-esteem, something that they want to improve, or something that they don't have a very vast amount of, and you introduce a substance, a single substance that becomes their lord and becomes their master, the master of their domain, which is their bodies.
So would you say something like gluten would be a controlling factor like that?
Precisely. Everything from the GMOs to gluten to kale to, you know, paleo fads. These are all ways that the government is trying to...
You're bringing the government into this. I mean, I know you're not too fond of the administration, but are you saying the government dabbles in the dark arts?
The government, without a doubt, and I'm saying this now on radio, I'm saying it to my fans, I'm saying it to the followers of the show, the government is working against us. They are lizard people, and they are doing whatever it takes to backwards engineer equipment left over by the Carinians, by the Omegans, and they will find you, and they will inject kale into your body, and you have to watch out.
Now, you say the government are lizard people. Have you ever had an encounter with a lizard person?
No, I have not personally. I have played alongside many lizard people in films. Those were, of course, costumes. But it does give me, it does ignite my imagination and, you know.
Do you find yourself staying on your toes to stay away from the dark arts? Have you practiced any light arts, like anything that would counter them?
Yes, actually.
Have you taken a defense against the dark arts course?
Well, that's funny you should mention that. Alan Rickman, who used to be a close friend of mine, God rest his soul, we used to actually practice in his basement a type of magic that would actually repel this concept of a neosis that would infect your mind and alter your perception of the world.
Is anyone susceptible to this mind control?
Yes, everyone. Absolutely.
And how do you keep yourself from being controlled?
Well, you have to take some chalk and you have to sit in a ring, and there's no prayer involved.
Wait, I've got some chalk right here. So you just draw a ring?
Yes, so you just like this, you have to draw a ring right around, and you have to write within the ring, you have to write all of the favorite things that you love about yourself.
Favorite things I love about myself? Well, I love my podcast.
Excellent. Put that down.
I love that, you know, I've been given the gift of life.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. I always put that one down.
My family and friends.
Yes.
And, yeah, I think that should be about it.
Excellent. And for me, I would put my music is a big one for me. Definitely my fans. I love my fans. And, you know, what the hell? I'll put down Pirates of the Caribbean. I love those movies. They give me a lot of money.
Yeah, you've been quite successful.
Yeah.
So now what?
So we sit in this ring now, Aaron, and we stare at each other in the eyes.
Like we have been doing this whole time.
This entire time. And we have to whisper sweet little secrets into each other's mouths.
Wait. Sweet little secrets?
Yes. Secrets that say you wouldn't want the controlling dark forces of the government or the Scientologists or even the dark magicians of the Necronomicon to know, for instance.
But how do we? I know they don't already know these things. How do I know my brain hasn't already been contaminated?
The deepest secrets that you keep inside of your body are the ones that you haven't even admitted to yourself.
Is there a way of purging the darkness from me?
Well, usually...
Because now that I'm protected, I don't want the darkness in this ring right now if I'm still carrying darkness within me.
Usually, it does involve... a little bit of blood sacrifice.
Oh, no.
Just a little bit of blood sacrifice.
That feels like dark arts.
I know. And you have to say, like, you have to say a little prayer to the Black Pharaoh of the...
Whoa, Mr. Depp!
Yes. You have to invoke, Cthulhu, and you have to invoke Nyarlathotep, and...
Whoa, it sounds like in your fight against these things, you have embodied them all.
You need... It's like a vaccine, Aaron. You know, you need a little bit of the virus inside of you in order to have your body react to that stimulus. And it feels good having it inside of you. It feels good doing a bit of blood sacrifice once in a while.
This sounds like more than a little while you've been doing this. It sounds like really? You've been continually doing blood sacrifices to keep the darkness away and thus becoming the darkness?
Listen, so long as you're in the circle, the darkness can't leave and infect others, infect my co-stars, and the darkness definitely can't get in. I don't know if you've noticed this, Aaron. I have chalk circles on my shoes, and written in them is actually some of my other favorite things, like money I have on there. I have my house in Malibu. What else do I have in there?
I noticed the lack of any of your loved ones. Do you find yourself lonely?
You know, my greatest love is...
Music. Yeah.
You've been paying attention.
Oh, of course.
Yes. You know, my family and I, we separated a long time ago. But I know that they're supportive of my craft. And I know that they'll keep on buying tickets to see my films. And, you know, that's really the only familial support I need.
Okay. That sounds... This is a lot to digest. I guess we'll just move forward into our speed round, if that's all right with you.
Sure, of course.
All right. Are you familiar with the game Fuck, Marry, Kill?
Yes, of course.
You seem to have killed a lot, it seems. Well, anyways, I'm going to list three names. You tell me which category each goes into. Okay. First name, your friend Tim Burton.
Mm.
Second name, his former wife, Helena Bonham Carter.
Okay.
And the third name, another one of your friends, Orlando Bloom.
Oh, Orlando. Excellent. Fuck, marry, kill, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, who would I fuck? I guess I'd fuck Orlando. He's a very handsome man.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. I loved him in the Elf films.
The Elf films?
I loved him in those Elf. You know, the where he plays the long green elf. Maybe he was a white elf.
Lord of the Rings?
With the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I thought you were referring to the movie Elf with Will Ferrell.
Oh, yes, that's another man I would fuck.
Really? Fan of Will Ferrell?
Oh, yes. Big fan. He really, really tickles me, that man. Funny boy. Marriage, though. I'm not an easy man to be married to, or so I've been told. You know, I've always considered, Tim my partner in show business, as he is my partner as a director, you know, I guess. And there's this strong almost marriage of the actor, the star, and the director. So I'd say I'd also want him to be my partner in life as well. I do love that man. He's made me a lot of money.
And so that would leave?
Yes, Helena. You know, Helena, we get along famously.
Yeah, I mean, you've co-starred in a lot of things together.
Yes.
Sweeney Todd, she was Mrs. Lovett.
But, you know, she's got a much better singing voice than I do. And I was a little surprised when she was cast in alongside Sacha Baron Cohen in that... Les Mis, yes.
Yeah, Les Miserables.
Yes.
Wait, did you think you should have been Thénardier?
Without a doubt.
Sacha Baron Cohen, he's a very funny man.
He's excellent, but, you know, he should stick to wearing giant thongs and you know, and prancing around New York City with chickens on the subway. I am a true actor, and I think that I should have had the chance to be in Les Mis, the feature film, and I was surprised that Helena didn't endorse that. I was quite surprised by that. So it is a little spiteful, but yes, I would kill her and I would sacrifice her body to the eldritch horrors that live in the outer rims of our universe, and I'd feel safe and secure.
All right. Well, I'm gonna move right along, and our last segment, we'll do a little bit of word association. Basically, I'm going to say something, and you tell me what first comes to mind.
Ah, of course.
Rock.
Oh, diamond.
Guitar.
Little strings.
Pirate.
Spooky.
Native American.
Good.
Star.
Sidewalk.
Wine.
Crybaby.
Oscar.
One day.
Music.
True passion.
All right. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you again for coming in, Mr. Depp. It's been a pleasure. Do you have anything to say to our fans before you go?
Yes, I would just like to say thank you for making me famous, for buying all of my films, for supporting the Pirates franchise, because, you know, if it were up to me, it would go on till the end of time. I'm having quite a lot of fun working on that. And also, pray to your gods, whomever they may be, and, you know, make sure that you are protected from the government and from the lizard people and from the dark arts.
All right. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you guys next time. Thank you again for listening to the Yes and I Am podcast. This podcast has been completely improvised. So instead of having Johnny Depp here, it has been my friend Adriano LaRocca.
Hey, thank you for having me, Aaron. A lot of fun. Yeah, you can come see me perform the La Ronde Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. At the Reckless Theater. And I am also featured on the web series audio drama Sugar, which is being produced by the app Ent. You should download it.
All right. Thank you again. Thank you again for listening, everyone. Our theme music is done by the artist Regulus. He's on SoundCloud. Go check him out. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you guys next time.